Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines for December 24th, we discuss how the Cleveland Browns won a championship in just their first NFL season, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays of the day of the Hall of Famers. It's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the football history headlines for December 24th. Yes, Christmas Eve Day. We have plenty of football news, and we'll get right at it as we start on December 24th, 1892, in Charleston, South Carolina. The University of South Carolina Gamecocks played the school's very first football game. The outcome, unfortunately for USC, was a loss to Furman. 0-44 was the score, according to the correspondence from the SC Athletic Department. December 24th, 1950, at Cleveland Municipal Stadium, the NFL Championship game is played as the Los Angeles Rams face the Cleveland Browns. This game had some extremely interesting storylines. The first one is that if you remember our December 16th edition of the Football History Headlines, we talked about how the Rams played their last game calling Cleveland their home city as they won a 1945 NFL championship there. I would venture to guess that there was some deep interest on one side of the fence or the other on a team that was returning a little bit over 5 years later to vie for another NFL title in the same stadium they once called home against a new team in Cleveland. The second interesting item of the game is that this was the very first season that the Cleveland Browns participated in the NFL. They had spent the prior four seasons as the best team in the All-America Football Conference, or AAFC. And in fact, they won all four championship games of the league's existence. At the end of the 1949 AAF season, the fledgling football conference disbanded but made an agreement with the NFL to absorb their three most successful franchises, so Cleveland, the Baltimore Colts, and the San Fran 49ers all joined the NFL for the 1950 season. The popularity of the Browns' success had probably healed any unrest the fans had once the Rams moved to the West Coast. The contest was evenly matched on the slick turf of the Cleveland Stadium. It all came down to Cleveland's final drive. There was 1:48 left in regulation, with LA up by a single point, and the game rested in the hands of veteran Browns signal caller Otto Graham. Using both his legs and short passing game, Graham engineered a drive down the field as the Rams defenders had to sit back due to slippery conditions. With 20 seconds remaining, Cleveland kicker Lou Groza nailed a 16-yard field goal to put the Browns up by two. The Rams gave everybody a scare on the kick return as Jerry Williams took the Groza kick and weaved through traffic to race 35 yards before Groza tackled him to secure the victory. The Cleveland Browns in the game went on to defeat the LA Rams 30-28 per the website story on goldenrankings.com. Cleveland's defense provided five interceptions of the Rams' offense, often regarded as one of the most prolific in league history to that point. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
December 24th, 1961, Balboa Stadium in San Diego. The AFL Championship game took place as the San Diego Chargers entertained the Houston Oilers per the Medium.com website story. It was the second season in a row that the stout defense of San Diego would battle against the offensive juggernaut of the Oilers. Houston's high-flying offense was quite subdued by the Charger D for most of the contest. Houston's defenders were no slouch, though, in the contest as they sacked quarterback Jack Kemp six times and intercepted four of his throws. It was a rough game all around as 13 players were assisted off the field of play. The Oilers' Billy Cannon scored the game's only touchdown on a 35-yard pass play from George Blanda as the Oilers outlasted the Chargers with a score of 10-3. December 24, 1967. The NFL divisional rounds were played, and the Dallas Cowboys put a hurting on the Cleveland Browns 52-14 to advance on in the playoffs. ProFootballReference.com informs us that Dandy Don Mayer tossed two touchdown passes with 212 yards, but the Cowboys' ground game of Don Perkins and Greg Bainham with two touchdowns each powered the scoring for Dallas. December 24, 1967, the Green Bay Packers won their divisional playoff with the LA Rams 28-7. Travis Williams fueled the Packers scoring with his two rushing touchdowns and 88 yards that kept the Rams offense off of the field. Now let's talk about some Hall of Fame birthdays for December 24th, and we'll start off in the year 1871 in Holly, Pennsylvania. The University of Pennsylvania's end, Charlie Gelbhout was born. The footballfoundation.org says that some folks called Gelbert the Miracle Man because he did so much with so little with his 5'9" frame that weighed 170 pounds. Charlie was an excellent blocker of larger men. Penn's coach George Woodruff devised a play called the Guard's Back, in which Gelbert would play guard with a few other linemen and would drop back into the backfield at the snap and run interference for ball carriers. Walter Camp named Charlie to his All-America team in three straight years from 1894 through 1896. The College Football Hall of Fame welcomed Charlie Gelbhout into their group of legends in the year 1960. December 24th, 1921, Bluefield, Virginia. The University of Virginia's legendary halfback Bullet Bill Dudley celebrated his birth. Some so-called experts thought that Dudley was too small to play football at the collegiate ranks as he weighed in at 150 pounds on a 5'10" frame per the NFF. Virginia's coach Frank Murray decided to give Bill a chance to prove all the recruiters wrong. What Dudley do was become the only player to win MVP honors in college, the armed forces, and the professional levels. During the 1941 season, Bullet Bill led the nation with 18 touchdowns, 134 points scored, a 6.2 rushing average per play, and 29 touchdowns. The National Football Foundation selected Bill Dudley into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1956. The Pittsburgh Steelers did not hesitate a second to pick Bill with the first pick in the 1942 draft of the NFL. In his nine pro seasons, he had 8,217 total yards and recorded 23 interceptions and played in three Pro Bowls. In fact, the Pro Football Hall says that Bill won a rare triple crown of awards in the NFL. He was the interception leader, the top rusher, and held the punt return title all in 1946. Bill Dudley found the door wide open for him to enter into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1966. We hope that everybody is going to have a safe and happy holidays this season. And don't fret, December 25th, we're not taking a day off. The football history headlines for December 25th will be back tomorrow. So we have a great schedule of stories lined up for you because there's plenty of games that were played on Christmas Day throughout the years. And I think you're going to enjoy many of them. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Check at pigskindispatch.com or thesportshistorynetwork.com so you can find your favorite podcasts of this podcast or some of the other ones that have great sports history. And remember, some of the podcast providers such as Apple may have some delays. So if you don't see it there at your favorite podcast provider, make sure you check out pigskindispatch.com or at sportshistorynetwork.com, and every day's podcast will be there right when you expect it. So until tomorrow, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. And tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football, college basketball art, Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's R-O-W number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for a 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20. Check out and keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.